this morning.
Yeah.
Sunday school.
Right.
Everything all right, Brother Brent? And Brother Dennis in the 11 o'clock hour, I appreciate the Word of God. Helped my heart. And I thank God for His goodness. You turn your Bible to Romans 15. That's where we'll be looking tonight. Brother Keith said, wonder if anybody had a word of testimony. And Brother Keith, I apologize. I didn't speak up. The Lord done told me to say this when I got here. But above all people, I'd be the last person that would expect God to bless extra. Now, if you don't understand that, the way I look at it, I ain't much. And but what I am by the grace of God, and God already blesses me way more than I deserve. And so when a day comes by that I get an extra blessing, Brother Keith, it's not a surprise, but you know what I'm saying? It really gets my attention, makes me want to brag on him. This past Thursday, me and Brother Hyatt went to get a bite of breakfast, and then we was going to do a little running around, just talk a little bit before we left. And I told him, I said, well, we'll go on down here and I'll get you breakfast. I really felt in my heart I wanted to be a blessing to the man of God and buy his breakfast. I'll be honest with you, me and him goes a lot, and most time he pays. He won't let me pay, but I want to be a blessing to him. Well, we got down there and started eating, and while I was eating, this older gentleman walked up to the table. I didn't know him. Brother Hyatt knew him, said he's a good Christian man. He's known him for years. But him, Brother Hyatt, you know, they just sort of swap pleasantries, you know what I mean, just for maybe a few seconds. Hey, how you doing, all that. And then that fella just reached down, picked the ticket up off the table, and he said, I think somebody left this on the wrong table. And he said, I know what to say. Well, I know him, you know, because I'm going to get it. I done had my heart, Brother Dennis. I want to be a blessed man of God. But, you know, didn't panic me or nothing, but Brother Hyatt looked at him and said, well, Brother, you ain't got to do that. He said, well, he said, that's all right. I am anyway. He said, the Lord wants me to be a blessing to y'all. So I'm going to get you a tip, too. So me and Brother Hyatt got free breakfast. And then we run on up to the bank. He hadn't run me up to the bank. I got up there and run in. And when I come out, I stuck my hand in my right-hand pocket. I didn't know there was a hole in there, but I felt it. My keys were gone. And I about panicked. Now, I'm going to tell you, over where I live, some of you's been over there. To get in that front door, to even get to your apartment, you know, there's a security system. And there's a little electric eye there, and you got to run that little gray thing right there across it, in front of it, for to open the door, for you to even get in. And I asked building manager when I got back home how much that thing be if you'd lost it. And between that and making two new keys, it had been about $65. But long story short, we looked at the truck for a few minutes out at the bank. And I said, well, can't be nowhere but down there where we ate. So we went down there and we got down there and right there laid in the parking lot where I got in the truck. Nobody bothered. Nobody even seen. But I thought, praise God, that's two. Well, I got home later in the day, Brother Keith. And I was sitting out there in the lobby talking to some of, you know, my neighbors, and I was just bragging on the Lord. I was just testifying. I said, boy, God done blessed me twice today. I said, I mean, blessed me good. And I'm really, really pleased with what God, I said, I don't deserve it. I said, I don't know what in the world I've done to get extra blessing, but I got two today. And I said, they always say, you know, that three's the charm. And I said, so I'm so excited to see what God's going to do before I go to bed tonight. Well, I said that, and I went on back to my apartment, you know, and good many hours went by, ate supper, I sat in there reading, studying, and I hadn't thought really no more about it. About 10 o'clock, phone rung. It was a good brother from out of town. And he told me, he said, I'm going to make sure this is your new number. He said, I got Brother Hyde, he said, he told me that you know, drowned your phone, and he had to go get a new one and everything. And he told me, he said, what'd that set you back? He said, what'd that cost you to replace that phone? Well, I didn't want to tell him. Long story short, we rattled on for a while, rattled on. He finally told me, he said, well, me and my wife's been praying for several days and really had you on our hearts. Said, we're going to put you in a check in the mail here in the next couple of days. Just be a blessing to you. And it was more than it cost me to replace the phone. Brother Keaton, I don't know what I done, but Thursday was just one of them days. It seemed like everything I done, God was just there and said, I'm going to bless you. Brother Dennis, I didn't know a thing to get it, but I sure like an extra hug or two when I can get them. Amen. But I just want to brag on what God done that, folks. God knowed all about that.
Oh yeah.
I didn't know that one man. I thought I'd lost the keys and nothing. He didn't even have no idea. Well, really, there wasn't no great need, but I mean, you know, God put it on his heart to be a blessing to me. And I'm going to tell you what, I went to bed and prayed and thanked God first night, Brother Tom, just weeped. I thought, God, I sure am glad you love me. God's good to us, ain't he? And I'll tell you what, there's been times I guarantee if you're God's child, he's blessed you like that too. Amen. I know he has, because that's the way he does his children. Some things you just can't explain either. But we'll get on into Scripture. Romans 15, and I just want to look at two verses, and I'll be honest with you, I sort of thought I might preach something else tonight. I sort of got this thought the other day, the Lord gave it to me, and I looked at it a little bit. Be honest with you, I just sort of put it off to the side, and I thought, well, I'll study on that better later. But this afternoon, about 4:30, it just come on my heart real strong again. I thought, well, I don't know if I'm prepared, but I really just jotted a couple things down. God spoke to me about this afternoon. I'm going to go ahead with it. There's one thing I've learned about this, just follow God. It ain't me no way. I could be studied up to here, Brother Keith. Think I got some kind of slick, just good message, and just hit the ceiling, not help a soul if God ain't in it. So I'm going to try to obey God, and I pray this will be a blessing to you. We'll look at verse 5 and 6, Romans 15. It says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to hone in, if the Lord will help me, on just that last little phrase in verse 5, where it says, like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. Amen. Brother Robert, would you pray for us before I try to preach?
Our Father in heaven, as we stand in thy presence, I want to say thank you, God, for another day. Dear Lord, that we can gather together one more time. Our Father, worship you in spirit and in truth. Our Father, I want to say thank you, dear God in heaven, for the lovely Word of God. Thank you, my Father, for Daniel. I pray, God, Lord, that you'll give him, God, what he needs to preach. And our Father, I pray, God in heaven, that you, Father, will fill him with the power of God, turn him loose and let him preach. And also, our Father, I pray, God, if it's your blessed will to meet with us, Father, in a powerful way tonight, Lord, because, God, we need your help.
Yes.
We need the touch of God, and I pray, Father, heaven, Lord, that you visit with us. And I'm so thankful tonight, Lord, that we can always look to you for every need that we have. And I'm glad, God, that we're serving that kind of a God.
Amen.
And I, Father, we enjoyed the preaching of the Word of God this morning. And Brother Shank, I love him, and I appreciate him from the bottom depth of my heart. Also, I pray for our pastor tonight, Lord, as he preaches, God. I pray, Lord, that you give him what he needs to preach.
Lord, please do that.
Again, God, Daniel, give him what he needs. Help him supply his needs according to your precious will. And we thank you, praise you, give you all the honor and all the glory in the name above every name we come to pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Robert. The Scripture tells us here, and we know from other Scriptures throughout the Word of God, that one thing that God desires for His people, for the local church, is to be like-minded. Amen. And if we're going to be like-minded, I think the first question we need to ask ourselves is like-minded how? How do we know what we're supposed to be like-minded about? And I think that last little phrase there tells us, says, according to Jesus. Amen. He is our example. Is that right? He's our example. His word should be our guide. And we should be like-minded, Brother Keith. Amen. We should be like-minded. We should be like-minded in doctrine, in fellowship. Amen. In prayer. And what we feel that the works of the church ought to be as far as missions. And I thank God for giving us unity, here in this house of God. I mean, we go back there in them meetings and we talk about taking up missionaries or something has to be done around the church or whatever the business is. And I've never been back there really where no arguments ever started. Nobody's never spoke ill to one another. It just seems like we're able to come together and agree on things, what we feel the will of God is, and go do what God says. And I thank God for that. I know it ain't like that at every church. And the next time we have a meeting, Brother Shank, we might be back there pulling feathers and yanking one another's hair out and everything else if it wouldn't be for the grace of God. But I'm glad it's been that way. But I believe that's because the people in this house of God understands that the Lord Jesus Christ is to be our example. Is that right? His word is to guide us. It is not for us to just decide for ourselves or use human reasoning as to what we think we ought to do as a people of God or as an individual child of God in the work of God, in the walk of Christ. Amen. He's to be our example. If God help me just a little bit, I want to preach on this thought. I want to be like Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. There's a lot of things people talk about. I think I said something last time I preached. You know, little kids, you ask them what I want to be when I grow up. You know, even adults. I want to be like this. I want to be like that. I hear lost people all the time. Boy, I wish I could sing like so-and-so. You know, some big celebrity. Boy, I wish I could dance like that fella. Or I wish I could play ball like him. Or something of that. Oh, boy, I wish I had his money. I'll tell you what my heart is tonight. I don't know about you, but I want to be like Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. That's what I want to be like. And the good God of heaven, when He saved us, Brother Todd, He started a work on us. And He started from day one making us into the image of His dear Son. Amen. Into His character. Into His mind. He said we're to be like-minded with like Christ. We're to have the mind of Christ. He's trying to make us like Jesus. And buddy, I tell you what, I think it's a crying shame if somebody says they saved and they don't want to go along with the program.
Right.
Amen. Whatever God wants to make out of us, that ought to be what we want. You agree with that?
Yeah.
That ought to, if it's good enough for God, it ought to be good enough for us.
Right.
Amen. But I want to be like Jesus. Let me give you just 10 little things I jotted down this afternoon. And I ain't going to take a lot of time preaching most of these, but a couple of them I am going to say something about. Number one, if you want to be like Jesus, we're going to have to put others first.
Amen.
Is that right? They wasn't a selfish bone in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Everything He did was for others. Amen. Even right up to death, He died for us, Brother Robert. I'm going to tell you what, I've had a lot of people been a blessing to me down through the years that's put me first in a moment of time for a minute or two above their self. But ain't nobody never made no sacrifice like that for me. Amen. And I'll tell you what, I think the people of God ought to be willing to sacrifice. Amen. We're to sacrifice our time and everything about us. Amen. And I know we all need to do better on that. Amen. You might do pretty good. I might do all right. But we all could do better. Amen. Ain't a one of us arrived yet. And I ain't a fussing at you because I think we do pretty good at that around here. Amen. But we need to do better. Amen. We're not there yet. Amen. We need to put others first in front of ourselves.
Yeah.
Bible tells us to esteem others better than ourselves.
Right.
Is that right?
Right.
I mean, come on now. You know, I mean, I think it's sad if you can, and a brother or a sister would be in need, and you couldn't give a few minutes of your time or a little bit of what you got to try to be a blessing to them.
Amen.
Amen. And you'd be surprised sometimes just what a phone call. Just to sacrifice a few minutes out of your... Turn that television off. Call somebody. Tell them you love them in the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Tell them they're a blessing to you. Amen. Call them and say, is there anything I can do for you? Can I pray for you? Come on now. We're not talking about no great, great sacrifice here where we never do anything that we need to get done. We're just talking about, hey, there ain't one of us in here don't have extra time. We may act and talk like we don't, but we probably, if you're like me, and I'll tell you what, I'm guilty. Paul says chief of sinners, I'm the chief of procrastinators, Brother Keith. I probably waste more time every day than I want to even admit. And there ain't no way I could be honest and open my mouth and say I don't have time to go help that brother. Or to take a few minutes and call him or do something to be an encouragement to him. I've got time. It's just a matter of what am I going to make priority? What am I going to make what's important? Amen? Well, we're going to be out of here one of these days. Amen? I'd like to think that by the grace of God, I've done everything I could to try to be a help to the people of God. And I'm not there yet. You pray for me. I mean, that point was for me. I'm talking about being like Jesus. Amen? If you want to be like Jesus, you're going to have to love sinners.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say a little something about this. And it's mostly because I'm guilty. I'm more guilty than probably everybody else in here put together. And God's really touched my heart. Me and Brother Hyde even talked about it Thursday morning. We was eating breakfast. And God, and I mean God, struck my heart. I mean strong here recently. I mean strong. There ain't a one of us in here. Sometimes we see people living deep in sin. And we won't look down our self-righteous nose and think bad of them. And the only difference between them and us is the grace of God. Some of us in here was probably as bad as they were, if not worse, before we got saved. Some of us. You know, word of God over there, Paul told that crowd, he said, and such were some of you.
Yeah.
And that was a list of pretty bad sins.
Yeah.
Amen. And I ain't saying that you should coddle them in their sin and make them feel good about their sin. That's not what I'm talking about. But it ain't right to hate them. We're to love them and pray for them and do anything God will open the door and allow us to do to try to encourage them to look to Christ. Amen. Amen. And I've done it. You've probably done it. May God help us. But, you know, we see somebody walking down the road and think, boy, look at that old bum. Look at him. Look how he's living his life.
Yeah.
Why don't you walk over there and just put your arm around his neck or pat him? You ladies, I wouldn't advise that, but you men, why don't you go over there and pat him on the back or something and say, let me tell you about the best friend I ever had. And I'm don't criticize him for the way he's living. He's living that way because he's a sinner and that's what he's supposed to do. I wish most of us would really get a hold of that. I've said it a million times. I remember times when we was in the store when Susan and Josh was growing up. Josh looked at me and said, look at that fellow over there. One time we was in Walmart. Some fellow was cussing his wife up one side and down the other. I thought he was going to hit her. Josh said, look at her. Look what that man's doing, Daddy. He's hateful. I said, yes, sir, son. I said, do you know why he's doing that? He's a sinner. That's what he's supposed to do. Oh, don't look at me like that. You know it's right. That's his nature. Now, he's got a choice. He can choose not to do it. It ain't like he can't help it. But that's just what his nature is, Brother Keith. God said to love them. Said to pray for your enemies. And well, yeah, but we won't hang them. You know we're right. I'm talking about being like Jesus. You want to be like Jesus? You're going to have to learn to exercise some humility and get pride out of your life. And that goes a little bit right along with the last point. Pride's a killer. I'm better than they are. I'm better than them, Brother Keith. I deserve better from God than they do. But I do better than they do. No. No. You've got what you've got and I've got what I got because of the grace of God and ain't a one of us deserves it. Amen. We can all stick that little pride in our back pocket. And I'm going to go ahead and jump on this. And some of you got young children. If you want to get mad at me, that's all right. That's all right. I'll just pray you'll forgive me for what I say because I know it's right. I know it's right. I know it's right. God done told me it's right. And I'm going to go ahead and preach it.
Go ahead.
Self-esteem ain't nothing but a nice way of saying pride. That's exactly right. Now, I ain't saying you shouldn't teach your children to do right and try to do the best they can. That's exactly right. But buddy, I'm going to tell you what, if you give them the slightest idea, it's in their power to do it, you're not really telling them the truth. What you need to do is be teaching them to pray and ask God to help them and depend on Him. And not yourself. Well, I don't know about you or your children, but I know about me. And if it's left up to me, Brother Robert, then anything I do, if I leave God out of it and think it's me doing it, I won't do nothing but mess it up. And I know that from experience. That's all I've ever done is mess it up when I've done it. See, we'll try to whitewash that stuff and we'll call it by different names, and there's a lot of things in the world like that, and I ain't going into it. But it's still pride. And I want you to tell you now, I know because I've counted them, there's at least about 100 places in the Bible where it talks about pride, and there ain't a single one of them where God ever said anything good about it. He said, he said no. And that's exactly right. He said it'll lead to a fall. Amen. God hates a proud look and a proud heart. Now, I ain't talking about having confidence that God's going to help you do the best you can. That's what you're to do. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, boy, when you get your little rooster tails up there, and I do too, and think, well, I got this. I got it. I got it. I don't need to pray. I don't need the help of the people of God. I got it. You know, God might give you something you don't think you got till you start crying out for help and realize that you need Him. Amen. Jesus was like that. Is that right? He prayed and depended on the Father. Is that right? And He was God. And we're not. So He had to depend on the Father. Where does that leave us, Justin? You better check your heart and make sure your motive's right and your attitude's right. Because I think a lot of times God judges and moves and acts upon motive. You could do something that might be a kind act in and of itself, and I've preached this before, but if you do it just to get a pat on the back or get people to brag about you or tell you how wonderful you are, it might be a blessing to that person you're helping, but that's sin to you. Because you're doing it for the wrong motive. That's exactly right. Somebody will say, amen, that's what the book teaches. I'm talking about being like Jesus. We ain't there yet. I've got to work on every one of these points. I still need work. Amen. You're going to have to love the truth.
Yeah.
Jesus loved the truth. Is that right? I'm talking about love the truth. He is the truth. Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the truth.
Yeah.
Brother Shank, I appreciate you getting on these false teachers. Because we know they're not preaching the truth. And I ain't going to dwell on this a long time. But I'm going to tell you what. I've had people in the jail. I've had so many people up there. Even come to a prayer meeting up there where I live on Monday night. I had one of them, they told me here the other week, said, I'm reading a good book. I said, really? I said, what's it about? They told me. I said, who wrote that thing? They told me. I ain't going to call his name. I want to, but God told me not to. Point is, they said, what do you think about that? I said, I think you're going to throw that thing in the trash and read your Bible.
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong with him? He ain't telling you the truth.
Amen.
Has it ever helped you for somebody to lie to you? Has it ever helped anybody else for you to lie to them? The Lord Jesus Christ loved the truth.
Yeah.
Amen. Matter of fact, He loved it so much He never done anything His entire life upon this earth in human flesh but tell the truth. He never lied one time.
Right.
Amen. Well, I think if Jesus loves the truth like that, that's what we ought to get determined in our heart to do. Is to love the truth. Right here's the truth. Right here's the truth. It ain't, I'm sorry, it ain't down there at the schoolhouse. I know we got to get education in its right place. That can be a helpful thing to get an education. But I'm talking about something above, something that's going to teach you how to add and write and read and get a job. I'm talking about eternal life. Is that right? You're going to have to love the truth. Amen. And this goes with this. You're going to have to contend for the faith. That's what James said. I don't mean you have to be mean and ugly to people. I don't mean every time you hear somebody say something wrong, you got to jump on them and snap at them. But I'm going to tell you what that does mean in your own personal life. If the whole world goes down that direction and that direction's wrong, I'm still going this way by the grace of God. Amen. I'm not buckling under the pressure. By God's grace and help. I could fall tomorrow. Amen. But it's right to contend for the truth. It's right. And I think there are sometimes it is right to confront people, depending on who they are and what the situation is. Now, I think you ought to pray and you ought to use wisdom on that. And you better know God's in it and the Holy Ghost is with you if you're going to do it. Because it ain't right to just go stir up strife and start arguments just for the sake of doing it. But there are times we're going to have to take a stand. I'm going to go ahead and hit this right hard for a minute. All this stuff going on around our country right now. And I'm going to tell you what, I guarantee you, if y'all know me very well, you know this. You'll never fix it through the political system. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. And the Lord Jesus Christ says it's just going to wax worse and worse till He comes back. So some of it we're just going to have to put up with. But I'm going to tell you what, if they pass laws tomorrow, Brother Dennis, that makes legal every filth and every sin and every abomination of God in this country, tomorrow I'm still going to speak out against it and I'm not going to do it.
Amen.
And Brother Joe, to come lock us up, like I said before, I guess we'll just have a full-time jail ministry.
That's right. That's right.
By the grace of God. Say, oh, you want to go to jail? Absolutely not. I don't want to go to jail. Absolutely not. I like being out here. But I'm going to tell you what. I ain't going to say much more about that right now because I got another point on that. But I'm going to just tell you what. It's right to contend for the faith.
Yeah.
It's right.
Yeah.
It's not right to go around starting arguments, don't get me wrong, and try to belittle people. That goes back to that pride. I'm better than you. I'm smarter than you. I know better than you. No. When people say something and they ask me what I think, I've got to tell them. This is what I try to tell them every time. By the grace of God, Brother Todd, that ain't what the Bible says. I don't even try to phrase it in a way where it makes it sound like I'm giving an opinion. I just say, well, that ain't what the Word of God says. And I'm going to trust God. If you won't trust man's little opinions, that's your business. But I'm going with the book. I'm going with the book. Amen. You want to be like Jesus? You're going to have to hate sin. That goes right along with the last one. Jesus hated sin. He was merciful to sinners, and I'm going to get on that in a minute. But He hated sin. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You want to know what God really thinks about sin? You take a good long look and what the Lord Jesus Christ had to endure on Calvary. And you walk away from that after a good, hard, honest look, and you tell me God's not hard on sin. You know, the very reason we get old and sick and die is because of sin. Every bad experience we have in life is because of sin. Or the devil didn't make you do it. Get off of that. We blame more stuff on the devil than he's even guilty of, as bad as he is. That Bible tells me a lot of times the lust of our own flesh leads us astray. Amen. We just see it. Amen. Through the eye gate. Amen. We lust after things. I want it. I want it. I want it. Let me help you young men here just a minute. I don't just mean things that end up ourselves wicked and stuff either. Sometimes we'll get to wanting things of the world and get ourselves in debt and can't hardly pay it all and we'll put ourselves in such a bind. You understand? You're about that age now, buddy. I guarantee your dad will tell you the same thing. You need to be a good steward with your money. Amen? Don't spend more than you got. Don't go in debt unless it's necessary. Sometimes it's just life. It's a system, Brother King. My house, you're going to have to go in debt. I don't know that many people walk around and just say, I want that house right yet. Or a car. Hey, some things you have to. But I'm just saying, things that ain't necessary and you don't really need, young men. If you rest of you young ones in here about to grow up, don't strap yourself like that because it's like Brother Hyatt preached before and I'm going to come right behind him, back him up on it. What you'll do, I've done it. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. You'll get yourself in such a bind financially, you can't do God's will.
Yeah.
That's the shame of it. You live without that brand new fancy truck or car or something like that where you could do with a little bit cheaper one. Amen. That nobody's going to brag on, obviously. So that's why you want it, because everybody's going to brag on you. Make a big deal out of you. Don't look at me like that. I know what I'm talking about. I know what that flesh is like, but I had to live with it every day.
Yeah.
Amen. We all like it. Might as well nod your head and admit it. We know as a child of God, it ain't good for us, and we try to fight and scrap against it. Don't tell me it don't rise up you in once in a while. Don't you tell me it don't make you feel a little good about yourself every once in a while when somebody, you know, goes overboard and just really flatters you. That flesh likes it. That inner man on the inside of your heart, because you say probably don't. But don't tell me that flesh don't like it and don't get drawn by it, buddy, because it does. Amen. You need to hate sin. Jesus did. Amen. Now, if you're going to hate sin now, you're going to have to overcome sin. Word of God tells us that we have the Holy Ghost. Is that right, church?
Yeah.
We have the power within us to overcome sin.
Yeah.
Amen. And overcome the world. That's what the Word of God tells us. Amen. Here's the question. How strong is your desire in your heart to draw close to God and forsake the world? That's the only question. It ain't a matter if you can. You can. I can do all things through Him which strengthens me. Because He's with me. I'm His child. Question is how hard am I going to work with God's help to put my flesh off to the side? Amen. You need to overcome sin. Sin will drag you down as a child of God. If you're here and you're not saved tonight, it'll send you to hell.
Yeah.
If you're here tonight and you don't know you've been saved, I'd just like to encourage you. I'd be sitting right there in the seat right now if I was you praying, God would touch my heart and show me that and give me grace to be born again. Child of God, if you're like me, and I still am, God's helped me down through the years since I've been saved. But I'm going to tell you what, Brother Keith, the longer I've been saved, every time I go look in that mirror, I'll be honest with you, I see more about me I don't like than I did 21 years ago. The closer I get to God, the more I see wrong with me that needs to be fixed. You know why? Because the closer I get to Him, the closer I am to the light that shines brighter on me, and I start seeing all them little imperfections. Amen. But you're going to have to overcome sin if you want to be like Jesus. And if you do all that, I'm going to promise you something. If you manage to hate sin and overcome sin, contend for the faith, you're going to be hated by the world. You're going to have to suffer persecution if you want to be like Jesus. He was hated. He was despised. Brother Keith, what did he tell the apostles? He said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you also. Is that right? The world's going to hate us, Brother Dennis, for what we preach. Well, me and you both know there's already people out there already does. Sad part of it is they claim to be saved and they're sitting out there in a church somewhere tonight. Now, whether they're saved or not, I don't know. That ain't none of my business. That serves in God. But it makes me wonder why somebody says he's saved, don't want to do what's right and to get mad when somebody preaches doing right.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You're going to have to suffer some persecution. Amen. Here's where it gets tough. Here's where it gets tough. The place that's going to be the hardest to walk in that, Brother Robert, is among your own natural family. It ain't going to be that bad down there where you work. You can clock out and go home. They go home. Y'all forget about each other until the next morning. But your own family, eat, sleep, and drink, and live in the same under the same roof sometimes. That's why it's important, and I'm going to go back to you young folks in here. I'm going to remind you, the Bible says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. As you grow up and you start getting that in your head, you want to find you a spouse and a partner for life and get married, you better find a saved one. Because if you ain't, you're asking for trouble. And I know there's people that hadn't went that route, and I ain't a picking on them. I love you, and I pray for you. But I'm just telling you, you can't go against the Word of God without suffering the consequences. Brother Justin, I'll pick on you. You're there on the front row and you're my buddy. I know you ain't going to get mad at me. You cruising in sort of toward that age. Probably won't be too many more years made by the grace of God. And I know you seem like y'all pretty good and good choice. And encourage your brothers coming behind you. Find one in the house of God, loves God, and they'll serve God with you. Because if you don't, you're going to have trouble. And it's going to hinder you from serving God the way He'd have you to. Amen. You'll have to suffer some persecution. If you want to be like Jesus, you're going to have to want God's will and not yours. You know, some of them people always walk up to you, Brother Keith, and they'll say, God's got a wonderful plan for your life. But they leave out a lot of them details, and it makes me wonder sometimes they don't leave them people thinking, huh, great, yeah, I got a wonderful plan for my life, too. And God's going to help me? Whew, what a wonderful God. You got nothing? I'll take two. You know what's right. Here's the thing. Every child of God, sometime after they're saved, Brother Robert, is going to have to come. They'll come to a place. They'll come to a crossroad.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to have to decide if they're going to do God's will or if they're going to continue wanting to live out their dreams they've had all their life
right.
for their life. You'd be far better off just going with whatever God wants for you.
Yeah.
Give up them dreams. Because even if you got to walk in them and prospered a little bit, Brother John, got a little money in your pocket and men pat you on the back and you live life like that, it'll perish with you when you die. Is that right, Brother Robert?
Yeah.
It'll perish with you when you die. But if you do God's will, everything God gives you, everything God gives you, and I'm talking about spiritual blessings, buddy, you'll have with you forever. Amen. I told a boy the other day, I said, when you die, I said, if you're saved, the only thing you're going to take out of this world you didn't bring in with you will be the Holy Ghost. If you die lost, you ain't going to take nothing with you you brought. But you're going to inherit something you're going to wish you'd never had. I'm talking about being joint heirs with Christ. Hey, God's got the best for us.
Yeah.
Why would you want anything else? I've asked myself that before. Knucklehead? You wasted the last, whatever, week, 2 weeks messing with this. You should have never got involved. 2 weeks, I'd never get back. A year, maybe, I'd never get back, Brother Key. Never get it back. You'll have to be willing to do God's will. Even when the Lord Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane before they came to arrest Him, and He knew He was going to be in the tomb and dead within 24 hours. And He said, if you'll let this cup pass from Me, but not My will, Father, but Yours. Even the Lord Jesus, you say, what's that got to do with Jesus? Even Jesus walked in the will of the Father. You want to be like Jesus, you're going to have to be willing to walk in the will of God for your life. You could be saved and you could be a Christian and you could be hit and miss and you could get in the ditch all your life in and out and spend about all your life as a Christian crawling out of the ditch and go find a new one to fall in. You can do that if you want to. But you'll never go nowhere for God and you'll never do nothing for God. You might as well go ahead and settle in and get in the will of God right now and get determined in your heart and say, God, if you'll help me, I'm going to do everything and anything you speak to my heart about doing, and I want what you want. And I promise you, if you do it and you're saved, you won't like it. If you don't do the will of God, you're just cheating yourself out of God's best. And I'll close with this. If you want to be like Jesus, you're going to have to be willing to die for the cause.
Yeah.
He went up to that hill called Calvary, Brother Justin. After being beaten, beard plucked out, all that they'd done to him, spat on, slapped, cussed, mocked. Wouldn't feel good to go through that, would it? That was just the beginning.
Yeah.
That was just the start. Drug him up there, put them nails in his hands and his feet, young man. Raised him up in the air. Said everybody around there was mocking him. God the Father put the load of the whole sin of the world on his back. He who knew no sin.
Yeah.
And then for a moment in time, God turned the lights out and let it go dark. And for the first time in his ministry on this earth, he could not feel the fellowship and presence of the Father with him for just a brief moment of time. I've had people ask me, said, well, Jesus only hung on the cross for 6 hours. How does that equal paying for our punishment that we'd have to spend a whole eternity paying off? And I told them, I said, because here's the difference. Jesus Christ is of infinite value. And we're not. We ain't worth much. But you can't even put a value on Christ. And what he does in a moment of time is worth more than we could do in a billion lifetimes. That's how.
Yeah.
And I heard a preacher the other day, I'd never heard this preached. Miss Linda, I thought about this, and I think the man of God might be right. But he said, when a person dies lost, they have all that sin built up. And they're going to die, and they're going to spend eternity in hell. And they're never going to be able to pay it all. Never. 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 He said, you know why? He said, it ain't that they can't stay long enough in hell to pay off what they've done here. He said, when they get there, they'll still be sinning. Every minute. Cussing God. Mocking God. Mad at God for where they're at. Still blaming God. Blaming somebody else. They'll still, every second hell, be sinning and continuing to add to the pile. And ain't no way they're ever going to knock it off as fast as they're building it up.
Amen.
Now, I'd never heard that before, but I'm going to tell you what, Brother Joe, I wonder if that might be right.
Yes, sir. That's going to be that way.
And that's going to be forever. Forever. But the Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Joe, went and died on Calvary. That we don't have to go there.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He died for the cause willingly and suffered unimaginable things that we can't even imagine. We get a little hangnail and bellyache for 2 days.
Amen.
Is that right?
That's right.
And he done it willingly because he loves us.
Yes, sir.
He died for the cause.
Yeah.
But yet, we want to draw back and not stand for God if somebody insults us and hurts our little feelings. Is that true, Brother Dennis?
Amen.
Or it gets a little rough and we won't sit down and quit. Now, I'm speaking as a preacher. Brother Dennis has been there. He knows what I'm talking about. Brother Hyde knows what I'm talking about. I mean, you know, that internet work, I told Brother Hyde this Thursday, I ain't going to go into no details. I mean, I don't even want nobody to know, but I will tell you this. We get a lot of emails from people, and most of them, I mean, a great majority of them, Brother Dennis, I mean, they're nice. People from other churches around the country, boy, we heard y'all on there, boy, we appreciate y'all staying. We appreciate y'all preaching the truth. It's a blessing to it. We get wonderful stuff. But every once in a while, we'll get some. And Brother Robert, I wouldn't expect sailors to talk like that, much less a Christian, and they claim they are. Cussing us, telling us how we're mean-spirited and wicked and hateful. Tell us, how dare you not have compassion for them women that had to have them abortions. I don't ever even respond, Brother Dennis. I just delete it and pray and say, Lord, help them. My flesh wants to. When they say, I mean, I get something like that, brother, I want to send one right back at them and say, how dare you defend a murderer of her own child?
or y'all mean to them poor little homosexuals. That's what they are. Or why you gotta preach on that King James Bible stuff all the time? I can give you a list. But you know what's the worst one we get that I hear from on a regular basis, Brother Dennis? And I'm glad you said something this morning. You know what I hear more than anything else? Well, y'all just down that center, you don't want to see nobody saved, do you? Preaching, don't go down there now and then take them by the hand and lead them in a little sinner's prayer. Hey, Joe, don't you know that's the way you get saved? I said one fellow back, I said, I'm going to tell you what. Brother, I don't know who you are, but I love you, and I'm praying for you. I said, you take your Bible, and next time before you send me an email back, give me scripture, give me chapter and verse, where it either says to do it that way with a sinner, or it gives you an example of a sinner getting saved that way.
Amen.
I said, when you find it, you send it to me.
Right.
I said, and I'll get on the internet, wide open for everybody here, and I'll repent of it and say, I'm sorry.
Amen.
Well, it ain't in there. Now, I ain't going to go after sinners. And I think you're telling the truth. And I think you're encouraging them to pray and ask God for mercy if they know their laws. I think you're do all that. I ain't saying we're just completely passive and we shouldn't do nothing, just sit there and go, boo, 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 I hope something happens. But I'm going to tell you what, last time I read that book, Brother Robert, God saves sinners.
Yeah.
We don't.
Right.
And that don't mean you don't do things to try to encourage them to the Lord. You do. But the power's not in us to change them.
Right.
We can only go so far and do what God's give us to do.
Yeah.
And at that point, we can't go no further. And that's right. Sometimes we just have to wait then on God.
Yeah, God, you got to do
it. Is that right? I like what one preacher I heard preaching about that said. Said some fella asked him. He said, preacher, he preached on this. Said another preacher in a preacher's meeting come up to him. After he says, sounds like to me what you do, you just get up and preach the gospel, encourage somebody to come to Christ, and then if they don't, you just go home and go to bed.
Yep.
Brother said, yep, that's pretty much what I do. Said, you just missed one thing. He said, before I go to sleep, I pray for him. He said, what more do you want me to do? I can't save them. He said, if God don't deal with their heart, ain't a thing I can do but tell them the truth. He said, ain't we don't love sinners. He said, if we want sinners to be saved, we don't want to be guilty of leading people into false hopes that ain't real. And this is what he said, preaching about it, Brother Dennis, and I said amen when I was listening to him. He's right. He said the reason you buy into that stuff is so you can run down there to your buddies after the meeting and tell them how you led 300 to the Lord, and they all gather around you and pat you on the back and tell you how wonderful you are. And ain't nobody said a thing about thank you, Lord. Is that right? You want to be like Jesus? I don't find nowhere that ever Jesus done that. Is that right? Hey, he told that one fellow, didn't he, Brother Keith? He said, there's one thing you lack.
Yeah. That's right.
And he turned around and he
went away.
Jesus didn't run him down with a trap trying to change his mind, talk him into something, did he? Well, Jesus didn't do it, I ain't going to do it, amen. So that's pretty cut and dry. Well, yeah. It's in the hand of God, the power of God saves sinners. Ain't mine. All I can do is what I've been told to do. Is that right? Brother Keith, let me give you a little example, and I'm going to close. I mean, you got young kids, you've done raised kids, you've done went through the process. If you got to the house, and you told the kids, I mean, they down there still about 11, 12 years old, 13, whatever. You know, they ain't got no license, they ain't got no business driving. You told them, say, go get in the car, go get in the vehicle, and we're going to go down here and get ice cream. Is that right? And then all of a sudden you hear it crank up, and you hear it going down the driveway, and you ain't out there yet. Well, they done went further than they supposed to, didn't they?
Yep.
And what's going to most likely happen?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to end in a wreck and a disaster. That's why you don't get ahead of God.
Amen.
You pick them green, I promise you, you'll run into them again when you know go knock on their door to invite them to church 20, 30 years later, and they say, oh, I've done that 20 years ago, and there they are, you know, cigar in one hand, a beer in the other, you know, watching no telling what on television. and they ain't prayed or lived for God a day in their life. They're right. They're right. Amen. I want to be like Jesus. Now I could have had a list that long, and I could have made every one of them something sweet and positive, made you shout and shed tears and think, oh, I want to be kind and sweet like, you know, a lot of times when we think we want to be kind like God, we're thinking in human sense. God is kind, but He's not kind in a human sense, the way we're kind to people. Usually we're kind to people because something motivates us to do it that we see in them. Is that right? That's why we tend to do more for people we like than the people that get on our nerves. Is it right? Am I right? But see, God looks at the ones that even gets on His nerves. Sometimes He even especially is kind to them. That's the ones He usually has mercy on. The poor and the downtrodden, the lame and the blind. The people most folks in this world wouldn't even reach out a hand to help. Amen. I want to be like Jesus, church, don't you? I want to be like Jesus. Sometimes that means taking a tough stand. Sometimes that means standing on truth. Sometimes that means you know people's going to hate you and persecute you. It's not all a bed of roses. It wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ. But this Bible tells me the Father is working on me, wanting to make me like Jesus, and I say, amen. That's what I want. That's what I want. Amen. Because I want to please the Father. Don't you, Brother Dennis? I want to please the Father. Amen. Brother Dennis, you pray for us.